You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up.
Beware, IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Brian Altano. Casey Lynch is here.
What up?
And Greg Miller.
Scoop!
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, GameScoop is IGN's flagship podcast. Every week, we run down the biggest video game news of the week, and we find plenty of opportunities to laugh along the way.
Ha-ha!
This week, the biggest news is that...
that was an opportunity to laugh. Some of us took it.
You're starting with news right away? I don't like jumping in.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Brian, tell me something non-game related. What did you do last night?
What did I do last night? I got drunk and I watched that movie, Hannah.
Is that good?
Sure. Yeah, it's
I've
decent.
I've heard good things. Oh, it's decent.
Yeah, it's
not good.
It's just like...
So like a 6.5.
Yeah, it's meh on the IGN scale.
It's meh, got some no killings. Exists, and that's a 5 if it did exist.
Yeah.
You know nothing.
It's about a girl that has to... kill other people.
Is it like her dad
that
raised
sounds
her
awesome.
For that or something?
Yeah, she was raised in the woods, and she's like, oh, no, now I gotta go learn about clock radios and television and murder people.
Okay. Her dad's the Hulk, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like that movie Walk Like a Man.
Oh, yes, it's exactly like
with
that.
With Howie Mandel.
I remember that. Remember when he found the ooze? He had the ooze in the Toy Story?
Yeah,
the
exactly.
I remember that.
It's a fish-out-of-water murder comedy.
What was Walk Like a Man? What was that movie?
So he was raised by wolves,
yeah, he was
right?
raised by wolves.
Oh, my gosh.
In the woods.
Yeah.
Wow. And then someone found him, and then they're like, oh, man, you got to go to college now, or something like that,
yeah.
Or he had to get a job at the toy store or something.
Yeah, he had ooze.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg, are you satiated with randomness now?
Let's do this.
The biggest news of the week is, by far, Gears of War 3, right around the corner, releasing next Tuesday, September 20th, and our review is live, delivered to you by our own Casey Lynch.
That's correct.
First review.
First one
ever for IGN.
Yeah.
That's right.
Look at that.
Crazy.
It's been here about 2 months now?
Yeah.
How long it's been?
Yeah, just 2 months on the 18th.
And they gave you gears, right? That's nice.
They gave you gears.
When you are they, it's pretty easy to give yourself whatever you want.
Who is they, Brian? I think I am they.
Well, I remember when I reviewed games for GameSpy, the people would tell me, like, oh, you can't do Zelda Spirit Tracks. You gotta, you know, cut your fingers on some trash first. You
cut
know?
Your fingers? Is that what they're saying?
get your hands dirty on some glass.
Cut your fingers on some trash like No More Heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that's the only game you reviewed, right?
Well, that and Zelda Spirit Tracks.
Wow.
But I never had to do Cooking Mama or anything, and neither did you.
No, but I have done my fair share of shitty reviews over my my long days of freelancing. So yes.
Do you know what like the worst game? Like what's the worst review you ever gave? Do you know
the worst score that I ever gave?
Yeah,
or the worst game,
something that stands out as being particularly bad.
I used to play all the sports games back in the day, and those would definitely come in.
This is like in the late 70s, right?
Yeah, no, this was like in the 50s. Yeah. No, just, I'm trying, oops.
Not the Mike Weber's face.
What score did you give that portable football game with the X's and O's?
Well, actually, Damon, that was
Tabletop football game?
It's before they invented numbers, so I just sort of etched marks into stone tablets.
Okay, how many marks did that one get?
Two, I think.
Okay.
It got three ticks out of toes.
What knapsack out of what?
I give it bananas out of knapsack. Or I give it bananas out of coconuts. And there's knapsack.
Anyway, Gears of War 3, 9.0.
9.0, correct.
From IGN. So let me throw you some softballs here. Is Gears of War 3 the best Gears of War?
I think that, and I say this in my review, I think it's sort of the most realized together vision of the Gears universe, I guess. I mean, it's really hard to put it up against the first one, because when the first one came out back in 2006, it introduced so many new game-changing elements. It was so innovative. It did, you know, cover stop-and-pop gameplay pretty much better than anything that we'd ever played. We hadn't really played something quite like that before, and it had so much polish. And it was really like this huge game for the 360. It was sort of like the Halo for 360 when it came out. So comparing Gears of War 3 to the first one is a little tough, because Gears of War 3 doesn't innovate like it did, but I think it's the most polished, kind of, like I said, best expression of Gears.
Fun fact, Gears of War started as an Unreal game. It was going to be called Unreal Warfare.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damon, yeah. You're just full of fun facts.
That's all we needed, was more games with the word warfare in them.
Actually, when it was originally being pitched, one of the working titles was Worm. Because Cliffy B, the whole time, he had wanted to create a game around an enemy that was subterranean. And the idea of these creatures sort of going through tunnels underground and everything, that was one of his really
tremors?
Things.
That's so. Tremors.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just...
Is Tremors the prequel for Gears of War?
Was Tremors 3 the one where they could walk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that might actually have been the end of Tremors 2.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't it?
The original Tremors is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it wasn't.
Was it Alex P. Keaton's dad in that one too?
Tremors 3 was so. Alex P. Keaton's dad. Yeah. Yeah.
Michael Gross. He's the only one that made it.
Yeah. Well, they lost one every time. So like Kevin Bacon and the Earl, whatever his name was, and Michael Gross and Reba McEntire in the first one. The second one, they lost Kevin Bacon and Reba McEntire. So Michael Gross had to get divorced or whatever. That's what they said. And then the next one, they lost Earl, and it was just Michael Keaton's or whatever. Alex P. Keaton's dad.
Yeah, he just ran a gift shop, right? He's like, where did everyone go?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why no one wants to live in this town full of subterranean creatures anymore.
Casey, the strapline on your review is epic ends epically.
Correct.
You know, some game writers on Twitter who maybe take themselves a little too seriously weren't happy with your strapline.
Yeah, a lot of my Twitter followers got angry about that.
Whatever. People just need to be able to take a joke. It's a fucking Gears of War game. I mean, it's a really fun game. I mean, granted, the game has some really somber elements to it, and the theme about it, you know, as far as overcoming loss and suffering and ultimately sort of arriving at this.
Yeah, that theme's really at the forefront of Gears of War.
I mean, if you play the story, it
shoot
is.
The things in the hole.
Okay, fine, whatever. So, but that's the whole point. For all of the, you know, the depth that I think that they're going for in the storytelling, it's a Gears game, which is like, you know, ass-slapping locker room humor, one-liners that are pulled right out of like 80s movies, and so, yeah. We had a little bit of fun with it.
Not to mention, Damon, every pretentious game writer has a problem with everything IGN posts, so fuck them.
Not to mention.
And they've all applied to work here at some point. Or another.
And ultimately, I think they're just jealous because it was an awesome strap.
I totally like
it. And ultimately, it also means that the rest of us can write anything we want.
You call it a badass simulator.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I sure did. It puts you in this position where you become a badass. I mean, you're this huge, hulking character with giant guns with chainsaws, and you just tear stuff apart, and you blow holes in everything. You pop heads like watermelons, and you're carrying at all times shotguns and pistols and grenades. I mean, yeah, you're a badass.
Yeah. You get to run around with that giant sword. What is it? I forget what they call it.
Oh, the cleaver?
The cleaver, yeah. I have a hockey stick I was dragging around the office like a cleaver after I played with that for a while.
Yeah, you played a bunch of Gears with Casey.
Yeah, we did the four-player co-op. Me, Peter Venkman, and Colin Moriarty.
Your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. Like, I like Gears has always been a fun game to play, and like me and Levi played through Gears of War 2 back in the day, and it was like by the end of
rest
that, I was
peace,
so...
Levi Buchanan.
Rest in peace, Levi Buchanan.
He's still alive, by the way.
No. Not in my eyes. Anyways, it was, you know, it was fun to play, but in the end, he was totally dragging me along, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay, is it over yet? How much more? Oh, God, there's some more of this crap. And I think having us all in one room and having four people and being able to bounce off and laugh at it together and stuff was really helpful. I think it's still, you know, fun to play, still a beautiful game. I like
the characters way more this time around. Like Coltrane's whole bit like was awesome. Like that was really fun and touching, and like that was a nice break from the Gears of War action. But like in the same way, like we didn't end up. Casey beat the game, I think, twice, right? Or yep. Yeah. So, I mean, but our multiplayer session, we only got through the middle of Act 2, and I have no real desire to go back to it. Like, I'm not going to go back and beat it, but I played enough.
You
and
don't
I,
have a desire to actually finish the game.
Correct, yeah.
Hmm. I'm going to make him finish it, though.
Are you now?
Greg's a jerk.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, so to be fair, you're not a big shooter fan.
No, third-person action games are my favorite. But I just don't care about these characters enough to where I want to go back and play by myself and see what happens. Like, I'm not playing it for the experience of what's happening to Dom. I'm playing for the experience of playing with my friends.
Okay.
And so we're not going to get. I guess people in the office are playing. I could try to get on their game, but and then I have to try to get a copy of the game. Seems like a lot of work. I'd have to drag my USB stick around with me.
Is it the definitive third person shooter?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Good question.
Is there a better third person shooter?
I guess in terms of War 3?
Yeah, if it isn't, then what is?
Yeah. I guess probably not.
I think so.
It probably is, right? Because, I mean, the mechanics are, top-notch, and it's fun, and the weapons are cool, and I like all that stuff. I mean, if you set out what third-person shooter did you want to play, I'd want to play Uncharted, but that's because I like the story so much better. And I'm not, for anybody freaking out right now listening, I'm not going to make the case that Uncharted's shooting, the circle that you're shooting someone right in the head with is better than, Gears of War's nice crosshairs and stuff, but...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't describe Uncharted as a third-person shooter.
Exactly. It's an action game, right?
It's a climbing game.
There's more to it.
It's
like,
a climbing game.
I think that's what
I play it for.
What defines a shooter is like that's what you do in the game, right?
Yeah,
that's
the
thing you do more than anything else.
Absolutely. I think it is. I mean, I think
it's beautiful and it's fun and it's easy to get into.
For the mechanics, I mean, there's very few games that do what Gears 3 does as good and as realized and as polished. So I would say so. And I said this in the review too, and I think from here on out, all third-person shooters are going to be compared to Gears 3.
Really cool world, really cool multiplayer. Like, I will totally get down with Horde mode. I will play Horde mode with people all the time. That was a lot of fun. Like, I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, Horde's switched up this time too because there's this current
2.0, right?
Yeah, I mean, whatever they're calling it. But, I mean, essentially it's the same thing, but during each round, based on how many kills you get, and how you perform, you earn a certain amount of money, and then you spend that cash on upgrades. So really, it pulls it more into a tower defense.
It's like zombie survival. Like you're making barriers and you're keeping them up, and then you're buying turrets. And then if you're upgrading enough stuff, so then all of a sudden you level up and you can make better barriers and you can make better things. And you're communicating, giving somebody money because they got so much money in the last round. Now they can go do more stuff.
Which is interesting if you think about it, because when Horde came out originally in 2008, it sort of inspired this kind of wave-based, horde-based. Gameplay in these types of games, and now everybody's doing it. Now Gears is switching taking cues as well, adding to it the ability to build up reinforcements and all this sort of stuff. So
there you go. Yeah, it is the definitive third-person shooter because I want to still play the mechanics of Gears. I just don't want to play the story.
How influential has Gears' cover system been in this generation of games?
Huge. Everybody stole from that. I remember the first time I saw Gears, I was working at the Tribune, and I was doing a story about this guy who got hurt in Iraq and was using video games to rehab himself and get his motor skills back. And I went to his house, and it was the first time I ever saw anybody play Gears, and he was playing a co-op with a friend there. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. Like, look, and like, now everybody does. I mean, don't get me wrong, Dark Void probably did it better than anybody. But you see everybody steal that slap to cover.
You do see that, and I love that mechanic.
Totally.
But I think it's interesting that the most popular shooter, Call of Duty, still doesn't use that cover system.
It's so hard to do it in a first-person shooter and make it work.
I think they do it well in Deus Ex.
Oh, really? I haven't put it in yet.
It's also hard to train people that's what they're supposed to be doing in a shooter. Like, I remember the first few hours I played Gears, I was just running around and getting my head shot. And I was like, oh, I have to hide behind this thing and then pop out and wait. And it's a little more meticulous than Call of Duty is just... run out with a shotgun, start shooting people.
See, and that's always been my knock about first-person shooters, especially in this generation, is that just loses it for me. The fact that I need to go into cover, so then I just walk and I stare at a pillar and watch my health regen, and then I come back around the pillar. It's like, no.
Rainbow Six Vegas also did it well, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. And that, I think, went a long way to sort of train players on, okay, this is sort of a mechanic that's useful, but it's still in a first-person perspective. But it's nice, I think, sometimes to break up the gameplay when, if you don't like it, I mean, whatever, but to be able to snap into that cover and for a second, sort of get a lay of the land and you can turn the camera around. And
In Gears?
I think Greg's saying he does like it. Yeah. He's talking about games that don't have a cover
shooters.
System.
Yeah, first-person shooters when I'm just staring at a pillar waiting to regen.
Oh,
yeah,
that's lame.
I like how I keep... acting like people can see me.
Greg's moving
away from the mic. I'm doing all this.
when Gears of War came out, I thought it was the best looking console game ever made.
Where
does Gears 3 stand up to that? Because earlier in this year, a lot of people thought Crysis 2 was probably the best looking console game ever.
I would say it definitely outdoes the first one. I think, you know, and Greg, you can chime in too, but the lighting effects have been really tweaked. So there's a lot of nuance in some of the underground levels that are like some of the inside levels. Like, for instance, when you're trying to cross the bridge, there's holes in the walls. And so there's just like streams of light kind of poking in the
air. There were plenty of times when we were walking around in four player and we were just stopping, like, look how good this looks. Like, this looks awesome. Like,
well, they added color awesome. This time.
Yes, there's greens and there's yellows.
Which is great.
Some reds.
And gears look great already, so.
Great looking.
I think the character models have been fine-tuned. The running animation looks a little bit better, too. It just looks right. So.
I like the enemies that are glowing with the yellow, the goo. I like how they look, and then when they explode, like, there's a lot of color and less stuff going on.
And one of the things that happened too, if you remember when the first one came out, is there was a lot of texture popping. Like, so when something would happen, it would sort of start out all muddled, and then it would sort of catch up with it, and everything would render, and then ooh, now it looks really good. There's not really as much of that, if any, in Gears 3.
Listener Anthony, we'll just call him Tony.
Anthony Gaius.
Tony writes in. He says IGN has scored both Gears 3 and Resistance 3 a 9 out of 10. I'm wondering which game each of you prefer.
You've played
I played both.
You played both? I played both, too. I default to you. I've actually done the exact same thing.
They're really different, though.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is both of them have a real... The single-player campaign, at least, have a real sense of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that the multiplayer for Gears 3 is superior to Resistance. Resistance just feels looser and more floaty to me, and it's more just kind of jumping around. I think the cover-based system in Gears just makes it a little more strategic, and it feels a little tighter to me.
I've already admitted my bias in this thing. I like third person way more than first person. So, I mean, I would recommend Gears over Resistance, but that's just me personally. I think Resistance, I really like the story and I really like Capelli, but again, then I'm in this first person mode of, all right, now there's something over there shooting me. I better crouch down behind this freaking tree trunk and wait for this to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I like being able to slam. I mean, multiplayer, I agree with as well. Like, I think Resistance is fun multiplayer, but it's not doing anything you haven't seen before in a first person shooter multiplayer, whereas this has Horde mode and it has Beast mode and it has
Snap to cover
and has all this stuff. Yeah.
Big head mode. I mean, Resistance has never. Resistance has never been known for its multiplayer. I mean, it definitely when it first came out, it was like, oh my gosh, you can play with 60 players.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, the guns have secondary fire, which is cool. And I mean, Insomniac's great at making weapons.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fun game. Nobody's knocking that. I'm just saying, like, if you're looking for something different, I think Gears of War is, you know, tweaking what it's done before. Whereas Resistance is still just like, hey, it's Resistance.
And the storytelling between the two is very different. Resistance is super like it's deep and it's very serious. It takes itself very, very seriously. Capelli's a family man. He's, you know, fighting obviously for humanity, but he's also fighting for his wife and his son.
Yeah.
And Marcus is, you know, he's trying to rescue his dad.
And
but
Dom's pissed off about his tomatoes.
And he's got a beard. So, I mean, Gears, it's a little harder to take seriously. We're not trying to take anything away from the story that Epic's trying to tell. But pound for pound, I would say story-wise, Resistance is more compelling.
Yeah.
Fun-wise, I would probably go with Gears.
Yeah, I agree.
Gears of War 3 is out next Tuesday, September 20th. It's the end of Gears for now. Epic is apparently working on 5 new games, none of which are a Gears of War game.
Wow. That's 5 more bullet storms.
And I will say this, too. We won't give anything away with the ending, but it seems pretty clear once you finish the game that with this bit of storytelling between the 3 games that they're done.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's
now
rare.
I want to finish it.
That pretty much never happens with anything anymore. So that's nice.
I'm playing.
But wait, there might be more.
I will say this: I'm playing through on Insane, and I haven't finished it yet. So there may be an unlockable sequence that happens once you beat it on Insane. So we'll report that once we beat it on Insane.
That's why I love old school video games, because they would just put a question mark at the end, like the end.
It would just say thank you for playing. Game over.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Link. You saved Hyrule.
A winner is you. Hey, Altano.
Hey.
I heard all my favorite game developers used to suck.
They used to be terrible, man. Awful, awful games that these guys used to make. They all make great games now, but they didn't.
So, like, Naughty Dog, for instance, they make Uncharted.
Uh-huh.
Those are pretty good games.
Yeah, people like those games.
I'd rather talk about Space Jam. So, anyways.
Who made Space Jam?
It's an inside joke between me and Altano, sorry.
Oh, thanks for
whatever.
Bringing your
inside
joke.
In the original draft, they had me proof. It's like, the way the article worked is they gave you a bad game, and then they were like, surprise, this game was made by these people. So, it was the one that was Naughty Dog, we didn't know it was Naughty Dog, and then the next one, it was like, Uncharted 3, but then the write-up was, you know what, let's talk about Space Jam.
We had some old dummy text in the article before we sent it to Greg, and he's like, I don't think those guys made Space Jam.
This is a feature that you guys put up this week.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I liked this.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Very nice.
A lot of people got mad at us for it. So basically the premise was...
Again, the internet gets mad about everything.
They do. It was called Your Favorite Video Game Developers Used to Suck. Because most of them did. And... A lot of these guys make great games now, but if you look back, there were
they
some
didn't just
weird...
start out making great games right out of the gate.
Yeah, you don't start with Uncharted like you do Rings of Power, you know,
everybody
and you
has
hope
to cut
nobody
their
notices.
Teeth. Everybody has to cut their teeth somewhere, or I'm sorry, cut their fingers somewhere. Cut their fingers and get ready to go.
Yeah, so Naughty Dog made this Sega Genesis game called Rings of Power in 1991.
Yep.
This is an isometric role-playing game, which you point out in your write-up that totally ripped off Lord of the Rings. I mean, it's Rings of Power is what it's called anyway. I never played this game, but I remember seeing it like the box when I would go to the game rental store. And that sort of, anybody play this one?
No,
I did not.
I didn't even play it, but I could say that it sucked. And I
fun fact: the 30th level of Crash Bandicoot 3 is called Rings of Power.
Nice.
Crash Bandicoot series is also developed by Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the really interesting things about Rings of Power is that there was a nude code.
It's got titties.
Yes,
in this game.
That's what I remember about this game that people talk about all the time.
That's all anybody remembers about Rings of Power.
From like before the title screen, the Naughty Dog logo, when you boot up the game on your Genesis, this girl in a bikini, I think, she like swings, she like scoots by the screen, and then there's a dog with, he's obviously very naughty.
He's
naughty. Looking at this girl. And then there's this like digitized 16-bit bark. He's like...
I hear they're using that for Uncharted 3.
Yeah. But if you... Here's the code. I'm sure many listeners out there have this game. And all this time, they haven't realized they could have looked at 16-bit tits. So when you turn on your Genesis, if you hold down the A, B, C buttons and hold down right on the controller, then press start. As you turn on your Genesis, when that girl scoots by the screen, she'll be topless.
You get to see some titties.
Pretty amazing.
On your Genesis.
Nice.
I know. Best set of tits on Genesis. 10 out of 10.
And then Naughty Dog went on to make the Uncharted series.
Yeah. No titties in those games.
There were some years passed.
They did a few things between here and there. But yeah, we talked about Epic. They did Cyber Girl Pinball.
See, now this game, that game looks awesome.
Which, Damon, I just purchased you a copy of that game.
Did you really?
So yes, it will be coming into the office on Tuesday. You can play it on PC. It's available for $4 on Amazon.
Exactly.
Is it a floppy?
Yeah, it's
this a is like a...
I don't think we have anything that can even run it.
I love that it's coming.
We need to order
I can't wait to see the box art. Yeah, this is like a video pinball game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cyborg Girl, do you know who this is, Greg?
I don't.
She's a DC Comics character.
Cyborg Girl?
It's just one word, Cyborg Girl.
It's Cyborg Girl. Not yeah.
I'm not
girl
familiar with Cyborg Girl.
Cyber girl.
Was she from an Elseworlds tale? Which Earth was she on in the multiverse?
Well, let me tell you, Greg. I don't know. a Google search tells me that she is a DC Comics character. But this is like a video pinball table. It reminded me of Alien Crush.
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember Alien Crush, Devil's Crush?
Yep.
Those are great video pinball games. I like how you describe the game in your write-up here. Mixing the intense thrill of pretending you had your own pinball table with the intense thrill of pretending you had a younger version of the maid from the Jetsons as your girlfriend was the perfect recipe for success.
This is what I do, folks. Mm-hmm. That's it.
So before Epic made Gears of War, they made Cyborg Girl.
Because that was the era, though, right? That was the 90s where everything was cyber. People put cyber in everything. Like, we just had this huge fetish for these, like, half-robot people. We thought it would happen. Still hasn't happened. Sort of happened. Maybe. I guess you can get, like, a robotic arm or something now, like, if you get in a car accident.
Remember Lawnmower Man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly.
Oh.
But, yeah, those days are gone. Now we just have robots.
Yeah, that's true. And I like how you bring up Dead Island and its developer Techland.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, but they used to make bad games. Yeah, like 2 months ago with Call of Juarez.
I wanted to give them a pass. So they developed like an island adventure game back in the 90s.
Indiana Jack.
Indiana Jack. No one wants to remember this game. It's ridiculous. You're basically...
This is like, yeah, third-person platformer meant for kids, I think.
Yeah.
An island adventure game. Starring a monkey running around this island. It has a Metascore of 53.
Well, that's not bad.
Released in 2003.
Before Metascore really meant anything, so it gets a pass.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that was Techland, and then they made...
Call of Juarez.
And Dead Island, which, you know, I was really trying to enjoy.
You were enjoying it.
I was enjoying it. But then the game was like, you're done. You're done having fun here. This is over.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, game-breaking bug. It spawned me in a house. There was only one door to the house. When I open the door to leave, I cannot pass through because there's an invisible barrier there. The game still thinks there's a door there.
Yeah.
So literally, I cannot do anything in the game. I cannot progress in the game. I cannot leave that house.
And you haven't tried doing the new game thing we were talking about? Because it lets you start from chapters, and I think you keep quests.
See, I don't know. I was asking Stephanie about it. She says no. That, yeah.
Okay.
Now, so I like the conclusion that you draw, that you actually found a way to beat the game.
Yeah, I'm
you're safe.
Yeah. The zombies can't get me.
Alternate ending.
That's great, because the zombie's just at the door, and it's just very metaphorical. It's deep. Mm-hmm. He'll never get in. You'll never get out.
Metaphorical?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's some 90s hip-hop slang right there. Lyrically lyrical.
Metaphorically?
I want that to be your rapper name.
Metaphorical. Yeah.
That's good. With a K.
Or three.
Also a very 90s thing. Corn. I'm thinking of like corn.
Oh, right.
That's not how you spell corn.
I don't know if anybody remembers this mech simulator from 1996 called Shattered Steel.
How can we forget?
Hot trash.
It's one of those cockpit view games where you wander around.
People actually like that game, so.
I had never heard of it.
People love mechs. If you love mechs, you've just learned to accept terrible games and think they're great.
Really?
Yeah. You're just like, oh, whatever. Yeah, this game's great. Armored Core, whatever. It's amazing. Costume. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you just walk around like empty, barren wastelands and shoot at scorpions.
There's nothing. It's an empty world.
That was actually BioWare's first game.
Lol.
Of course, BioWare makes Mass Effect 3. Older
Star
Republic.
Wars
just the Old Republic, yeah. Knights of the Old Republic. That's
so they've come a long way,
yeah,
which is nice.
And then we were talking about Resistance 3 earlier. That's Insomniac.
Word.
Makes that game. Their first game, Disruptor, on the PlayStation 1.
Oh, look at that.
Yep.
Also a first-person shooter. Actually has a lot of thematic elements in common with...
It does.
Resistance, right?
It has political parties fighting off aliens in a yellow and brown world. It has telekinetic powers in some form, which I had to talk to Colin Moriarty, and he told me that...
Altana comes over, he's like, hey, does Resistance have telekinetic powers? And me and Colin are like, no. And then Colin's like, well, kind of, like, some of them do
and I'm
this
like,
and
yes!
This. Okay, well,
run back to my desk.
Yeah, he was still in the middle of explaining it. He just ran away.
He's like, actually, well, there's... And I'm like, I don't need any more from you. Got it. Thank you.
They're still doing basically the same thing on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be doing these...
I don't want to spoil the ending of Resistance 3, but it ties into the end of Disruptor.
And this one, I don't know how fair this one is. This one, the last one is, you bring up Dogs 2008. Dogs. And you say, oh, these guys made Assassin's Creed Revelation. Assassin's Creed. Is it really the same team? Because this is Ubisoft.
It is the same guys. They use the dog jumping mechanics from Dogs 2008.
to get all the parkour stuff from.
Yeah, exactly.
How have you verified that this is the same team making Assassin's Creed Revelations?
Google.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Good. I would assume you would, as a friend and confidant.
I am your confidant. Yes. You divulge all of your messy secrets to me.
I do. I do.
Gross.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Jason Wolf did, and that earned...
Wolf.
That earned Jason Wolf.
Wolf. Remember that from Teen Wolf? When he's in class and he's thinking about Wolf? That was Teen Wolf. Not the MTV show. The movie with Michael
J.
Fox.
Is that
not Teen Wolf 2 either. One of the worst movies ever made.
But had Jason Bateman in it.
Yeah, Jason Bateman was in Teen Wolf
2. He's a boxer now.
Yeah. He's no Teen Wolf.
It's the same coach.
It's not. It's not.
But it's the same coach.
The dad, who's now the uncle, dropped him off.
Fuck it, I'll just coach Wolves forever. I don't care what they have to do.
Whatever. Whether they're playing basketball or boxing. I was born to coach Wolf. Is the MTV show still on?
Yeah.
It's still playing? Has anybody watched it?
No.
No. Do they car surf?
No, it's Twilight. It's not.
Yeah, it's more like a series. It's not like a teen comedy thing.
When Colin and I are watching Jersey Shore on DVR, we'll stop for the Teen Wolf commercials, and at least once an episode of Jersey Shore, Colin will go, "What is this show?" He's watching these Teen Wolf ads.
How can it be Twilight with wolves, though? Like, wolves are disgusting.
Go watch a preview for
aren't
it,
there?
Or a promo for Teen Wolf.
There are wolves in Twilight.
There's wolves in Twilight, aren't there?
Yeah, but not like Teen Wolf wolves. Like, those things are disgusting. Teen Wolf is just like the hairiest.
You understand?
Because he doesn't turn into a wolf. Like, he turns into a man. No,
but
wolf
that hot. But the hot blonde in Teen Wolf was totally down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just so fucking hairy.
But again,
disgusting. He wakes up with like a chicken in his mouth. It's gross.
That didn't happen.
He looks like the caveman from Geico.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I once had a long debate with a friend over this. As we all remember, Teen Wolf, You know, at one point, Mick tells Scott that he shot Scott's mom and killed her while she was stealing a chicken from the backyard. I took this as this really happened. Because we don't know where Scott's mom
yeah,
is.
That was like, that, right. When I was a kid, that seemed like a really dark moment in the movie.
Yeah, and then he throws the bowling ball. Like, it's all mad. But I assume that really happened. But then I post said it did not happen. So,
really?
I would love to know some fanfic on what happened to Scott's mom, or if I'm right.
Because, what, did he shoot his mom with silver bullets from a shotgun?
I don't know if it's every werewolf myth is in they never really went into that in Teen Wolf if that was actually the case.
I thought it was just like when you turn into a wolf then you want chickens, but if you're like a man wolf, you can just go, you can still go get lunch somewhere.
Yeah, you just get
you just look hairy.
KFC.
No, I think you go to McDonald's or something, you're good.
Give me a bucket.
You don't wake up naked in a KFC with like a chicken hanging out of your mouth.
When I was a kid, so there's a scene that they have the house party scene.
Yeah.
And he gets locked in the closet with the girl that he likes.
Oof.
Oh my god. When I was a kid, that scene just drove me nuts. So many fantasies about being locked in a closet with a girl. Just
Remember when Chubby eats the gel out of that girl's shirt?
Yeah.
You're the ball! Remember the guy who shows his cock at the end of the movie in the credits?
Did you know about that?
I've heard about that,
They're like, yay, we won the basketball game.
Guys, here's my cock.
God, how many times have you seen this movie?
Oh, I've seen it. I have it on DVD. Man. You're welcome to come over and watch anytime you want.
I guess I need to.
I need to get it on Blu-ray. It's on Blu-ray now.
Yeah. Yes, that's definitely the way Teen Wolf is meant to be watched. So, on Blu-ray.
We should do a Game Scoop commentary.
Yes.
DVD night of Teen Wolf.
Funny how anyway,
I'm glad this guy's last name just Jason, the last 10 minutes.
Jason Wolf.
Wolf.
Anyway, Jason is our.
That's right. That's why we're talking about.
Jason is our email of the week, and that won him a code for the Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection on Xbox 360.
And a chicken.
Listeners, you too could win our email of the week just by emailing us at gamescoop@ign.com. Jason says, hey Scoop Crew, I tend to play a lot of games that can be stressful at times, whether it is from chasing that next kill to get my chopper gunner in Black Ops or trying to stop that last wave of creeps in Geo Defense. I wanted to see if you guys could suggest some stress-free games for those occasions when I'm looking for more simple entertainment before bed.
Peggle.
Animal Crossing.
Flower.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, it's good. It's important if you play a game that really gets you going, like especially like multiplayer. Like, I don't know how many times you guys do this, but sometimes you play multiplayer for a little bit, and you're just like, God, fuck! And you just, you know, whatever's happening. You need a come down game. Mm-hmm. Flower, awesome come down game. Geometry Wars too, like just fun.
Geometry Wars. Oh, that would I would be like, I get really intense.
I get into like an evil trance when I play Geometry Wars.
Dude, I love Geometry Wars. Just hypnotize, just play and shoot things. Oh, so
Luminous. I like a good Luminous game.
See, again, I think that's a little intense. I think when I think relaxing, I think turn based. So I think Puzzle Quest, Peggle, like you said.
Puzzle Quest gets you so frustrated when the game fucks you over.
Not me. I don't. Okay. I can just. That's like totally chill out, relaxed game for me. And like Disc Eye, any sort of like turn-based strategy game where you can just you have all the time in the world to make up your mind to make a decision. You know, you're not like being rushed about anything. Those are the games that I play.
Zork.
Yes, this is from Bug.
Bug, nice name.
A Bug's.
Do you guys ever see a Bug's Life? Let's talk about that for 10 minutes.
Bugs. Bug. Bug.
Is a Bug's Life good?
Yes, a season.
I don't remember.
All of those ran together for me. Bugs, ants, whatever. Yeah. The other one. There was another one, too.
Centipedes.
I don't remember now. Bugs Life is a Pixar movie, right?
Yeah.
But I don't remember if it's good.
It's Pixar, so yeah.
It's decent. I mean, it's not at the top of the Pixar best of list, but I mean, it's not bad.
It exists.
Anyway, right? Bug says, all of you are writers. If you were to write a book, what type would it be, and what would it be about, and what would you call it?
It would be an autobiography.
Uh-huh.
I was a blue-haired antler. It would just be stories from college.
I would probably write a collection of erotic short stories.
Oh.
It would be called Look at Me, I'm a Star.
Anybody else?
You got a book?
I would write a sci-fi thriller about a space marine that gets attacked by an alien species called the Covenant.
The book is called The Covenant?
I think maybe I'd call it...
Circle? Oval?
Yeah. Mm. Ring in space?
Yeah.
Space ring?
I would write a Twitter novel called Jax.
Oh, God.
No, I had an idea for a book title called Thank God for Porn Stars, just because I think that would anger a lot of people at once. And then not. I don't know, because did God give us porn stars?
Yes.
Who knows? Read to find out.
That's a subhead.
That's a pretty deep book there. This is from Zach Rump.
I like that his name.
Rump?
Yeah.
I like big butts. And okay. We're not going to do this with everybody.
Last night, I decided to start up Super Stardust HD to kill some time after not having played in months, and I quadrupled my high score. Have any of you taken an extended break from a game and come back to find that you now kick untold amounts of ass at it? Of course, this is a...
Common.
Yeah, very common video game phenomenon. If you're having trouble with a game, just set it down, come back to it, and you'll find often that you're amazing at it all of a sudden.
Yep. So shut up. Okay. Exactly.
Totally agree.
This is from our good friend Baird Ristad.
Baird Ristad.
Oh crap! I didn't put this on my phone.
Oh, you didn't.
Nope.
Damn it!
Sorry.
All right. Well, I'll still play it.
Okay.
Here, last week we were talking about we had apparently come up with this song on GameScoop eons ago about called the Baird Ristad Power Note song and
106.
He sent it in.
Yeah.
The subject of the song actually sent it in, so I'll cut it in right
here. Right here.
All right, so this is a listener. I think we've tried to pronounce his name before.
Well,
he provides some help, but this is interesting. So this is his name.
Yeah.
How would you think that's pronounced?
Ristad.
That's his first name there.
Baird Ristad.
Baird Ristad.
Baird Ristad.
So it's pronounced Boar, apparently.
Boar?
Boar Resta.
Oh, I don't know where he's getting
Boar
that.
Resta.
Yeah.
Where is he from? Norway?
Norwegian, yeah.
Wow.
Very cool.
I had a Norwegian guy who lived next door to me once.
What was his name? Baird
Ristad. His name was Alex, oddly enough. It's Alexander. He drank a lot of aquavit.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Stuff strong.
Is that fast?
You know what I'm talking about. Baird Ristad.
is that fast water? Aquavit?
Fast water, yes.
Okay.
Boris says, I'm currently...
Baird Ristad!
He's going to regret ever writing into this. Says, I'm currently working at a game store, and I'm burning some CDs filled with game music to play in the store. So far, I've played the soundtracks from Metal Gear Solid, Legend of Zelda, Mario Kart 64, SimCity 3000, Metroid Prime, and Mass Effect. The customers have reacted positively to it. So I'm wondering if you have some suggestions to what I can play. I have only three criteria. It must be iconic enough to be recognized by people. It must not be creepy or hard enough to scare non-gamers away. And it must not drive me crazy after listening to it for 6 hours.
We're the original track we're going to do right now. The Baird Ristad. Damon, give me a beat.
About the Power Note. The Power Note song.
Baird Ristad.
Power Notes. Power Notes. Power Notes.
Baird Ristad. I'm not creepy. Baird Ristad.
I think non-gamers could really get into that.
Yeah. And it won't drive you crazy.
No, 6 hours of that.
Listen to that for 6 hours on repeat.
The second verse, it'll get different. It'll be better.
It'll go up an octave.
Ristad Baird.
I like how you're actually racing when you're singing that. Doing the running motion.
Music gets in me, Charles. I can't stop.
Boar.
Baird Ristad.
You're welcome.
What a good song. Remember that? Geddes was on that episode.
I know. Remember Ryan Geddes?
No.
This is from John. he says, GameScoop got me a girlfriend.
Yay!
Wow.
Yeah. I went to the IGN GameWorks party at PAX in hopes of getting totally panda with some of my favorite IGN editors. And at some point in the night, I was approached by a cute girl dressed as Kid from Chrono Cross. She used one of the oldest pickup lines in the book. I think I know you from somewhere. But it turns out she totally did. We discovered that she knows a lot of my good friends, and she frequents the coffee house where I work because her office is only a few blocks away. Strangely enough, we were even at the same birthday party a few months back. But we just never connected. We exchanged info and ended up spending all of Sunday together at PAX. We really hit it off and have seen each other every day since then. I've never had so much in common with a girl I've been dating before. I can talk about crazy stuff like how stupid the Wii U is, and she's right there with me. And if it hadn't been for the IGN GameWorks party, things may have never fallen into place to finally meet up with this awesome girl. So thanks to you all, and Scoop!
Nice.
I'm trying to see if I have a photo of Kid from Chrono Cross.
Just on your phone?
Well, no, because I took a bunch of photos with people from the meet and greet. I think he made this up.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a lie.
This is Matthew. On the used game market topic.
Oh, right, because we put up that article.
could big developers combat the used game market by signing agreements with companies like GameStop? A big game like Call of Duty or Battlefield, for example, GameStop couldn't sell these titles unless they did not sell used copies for a few months after release. Obviously, GameStop would make the agreement, as they would lose millions of sales elsewise.
No, that's just not a random how it works. Thought.
They will not. They would never do that. That's where they make the bulk of their money.
And GameStop is the number one video game retailer, so I think they hold the power.
Yeah, they don't have to. They don't have to bend for anybody.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
It's an interesting proposition, though. I mean, what would happen actually? Say, for instance, if publishers got together, say like the Big Five. And went to GameStop or whoever it was and said, "Hey, we're not going to give you first release unless you agree to these terms." It would be interesting to see
Nintendo,
what happened.
Nintendo tried it in the 80s. They tried telling like Blockbuster and stuff like that they couldn't rent games, they couldn't sell used games, and it just didn't work.
A more realistic way that you could see that kind of something like that happening would be whatever Modern Warfare, whoever coming to GameStop and saying, "We're going to give you 6 months of exclusively selling this game, but you can't buy it. You can't buy used." Maybe then they would if there wasn't a Walmart or an Amazon or
only.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it.
Then all the other retailers would blacklist Activision.
True. Yeah, I mean that's the problem. Yeah,
and it would be stupid on Activision's part too, because they'd be like, why aren't we selling this game on Amazon or Walmart or anywhere? I mean, that game sells everywhere. So what's the point?
I mean, the real question here is this isn't something that really. I mean, I know it affects the bigger publishers, but it affects ultimately the smaller developers.
Yeah.
So, and these aren't the people that have any power to go in and try and leverage these retailers. So they're lucky just to get the stuff on the shelves, honestly.
One day in the not-too-distant future, it won't be an issue because all of our games will be downloaded.
This is true.
This is Steve Carley. He says, "Hey guys, as usual, I love the podcast. Damon, I initially wanted to troll you and name this email 'I slept with Kim Kardashian,' but I figured it would hurt too much. You know, I think I'm over Kim Kardashian."
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah.
She's married, after all.
Yeah, that's true. "I'm not a homewrecker. Anyway, I was on the internet today and discovered that the Crystal Head vodka you find gents drink regularly was actually created by Dan Aykroyd."
Yeah. Have you not watched the
That shocked me. Just thought you would want to know.
You're an idiot.
Thanks.
Shut up. That's old news. Old!
Greg.
Slow Newsday reader of IGN.
Greg, who gave you your first bottle of Crystal Head vodka?
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
There we go.
Go watch the 9-minute infomercial he does about how it goes through spirit crystals. It's awesome.
As for a question, what are your opinions? Wow. What are your opinions?
Sick.
I'm sorry.
Gears of War flu. What are your opinions?
On the Tom Clancy games. Do you like or dislike a certain series? Personally, I love both Ghost Recon and both Rainbow Six Vegas games.
I like some Splinter Cell.
I love the holy hell out of Rainbow Six Vegas.
Yeah,
correct.
1 and 2.
I got on very late with you on that.
There's one of my very metric fuck ton of Tom Clancy games, though. That's like hard to.
Well, yeah. I liked Gras 2. I liked Gras 1 and
2. Yeah. Gras 2 wasn't as good as the first one.
No, not as good, but I still enjoyed it.
I mean, I'm curious to see the next one. I mean, it's been delayed so much that sometimes you forget, oh, wow, it's coming. So, yeah. but I'm a big fan of Splinter Cell as well as Rainbow Six.
God, Rainbow Six Vegas is so fun. If any of you listeners, like, just joining the current generation of gaming, getting yourself a 360 or a PS3, do yourselves a favor and get Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2. Those games are amazing.
Yep.
This is Baxter Chambers.
That's a good name.
I know.
It sounds like a Tiny Toons character.
Oh, actually, his question actually has a lot to do with what I was just saying. I had a question about buying a new console. I have a Wii, PS2, Super Nintendo, and NES. I've been thinking about buying an Xbox 360, but I don't know if it would be wise to buy into this generation so late. What do you all think? Should I buy a 360 or just wait until next gen?
No, buy one. There's so many great games out.
Do you realize now... This is hard for me to believe. The Xbox 360 is almost 6 years old.
Yeah. Correct.
There's 6 years of amazing games for you to jump into.
And they're dirt fucking cheap now, too.
They're dirt cheap, and the 360 is going to be around for several more years.
The console's cheap. All the stuff is cheap.
Do not hesitate. Now is going to be an amazing time to buy a 360 and get yourself Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2.
If he's still playing like Super Nintendo games and PS2 games, then yes, you know how to make your consoles last a long time.
I like being cutting edge. Is it really worth picking up a 360?
This is Daniel Montes.
No, I'm not sold on that yet.
Yeah, really.
"I want to poke your brains about how you feel when you play a game on harder difficulties. This is like Casey playing on, what is it, Insane on...
Yeah, Insane's the hardest on
Gears of War 3.
Yep.
I realize that when I start a game for the first time on its hardest difficulty, I tend to get frustrated and end up in some cases playing the game in a trial and error style. This is annoying. This is annoying since the trailers I watched leading up to the game showed some nice, fun, fluid-looking gameplay. I'm just curious if you sometimes look back during gameplay and wonder, why am I dying, or this is stupid, and lower the difficulty to reenact that beautiful, fun-looking trailer. So first of all, when I play a video game, I don't try to reenact the trailer that I saw.
No, never.
But he wants that, you know, I understand that he wants that experience he sees where you're doing cool stuff and killing people in a cool way and this is exploding, that's it. And not just you're walking into a room and getting shot down.
Well, and I also don't start playing on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah,
me neither.
Every time I do it, it's usually because I'm like, well, I want to make sure I get this trophy or I want to unlock this later on down the line. And it's like, I always regret it. There's always a point when I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, I for some reason, I played Uncharted 2 that way the first time through and I was like, that's a mistake. I should have just played this game 3 times because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to platinum it.
I think
first time through wasn't as much fun as just
I played the first 45 minutes of Uncharted 2 on the hardest difficulty,
yeah,
or whatever one was preset from the start, and I was like, what did I do this for? And then
exactly.
Just restarted it.
Yeah.
But usually I get like halfway through a game before I realize I'm on the wrong difficulty. Like either I'm flying through it or I'm getting my ass kicked, and I'm like, now I gotta play all over again.
Yeah,
but as far as like getting the most out of the game, it's hard to do that with games that are more technical if you play on the hardest difficulty. I mean, like, even, you know, games where you're stringing together combos and stuff like that, to learn how to do all of that on the fly and then go up against you know, harder enemies when you have less hit points, that yeah, can be super challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not as fun, so, you know, you just gotta kind of feel it out.
And that, yeah, and I don't think there's any shame in turning on difficulty. Like I said, like, no. I'm not a first person shooter fan. I wanted to beat Resistance, and I was playing Resistance on normal, and I finally got to this point where it was just one of those dumb rooms of like wave after wave, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm putting on easy. I just want to get through this game.
We've said this before. There's no shame for even playing on easy. You know, they're games. They're supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Whatever difficulty level is the most fun for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand people who are like, "Oh man, you're a pussy. You didn't play it on insane."
Those are just insecure, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Internet nerds.
Typically, when you play it on the harder difficulties nowadays in this generation, it's really more about collecting stuff,
totally,
getting
you want this unlockable,
or you want
an
achievement. Same thing like with playing, you know, any of the Call of Duty games or Halo on Legendary. I mean, there's definitely a fun challenge to it, but it's so different now. Now it's like, oh, I gotta get the platinum, or I gotta get, you know,
1,000.
Yeah, exactly. So, whatever.
This is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
I'm a 27-year-old gamer. Some of my fondest gaming memories are having a large group of people over and playing games like GoldenEye, Rival Schools, and the original Halo. Ryan, you had me at Rival Schools.
Uh-huh.
Man, that game was amazing. Now when I play multiplayer, I have to mute everyone so I don't have to listen to some 12-year-old say absolutely awful things about me and my family after he blindly chucked a grenade into the void, killing me from 2 football fields away. I ask you, Scoop Crew, what happened to the fun of multiplayer? And is there anything the industry can do to get it back?
No, there's something you can do. Only play with your friends.
Yeah.
Only play with people
why
you
are
know.
You playing
make
with,
a party.
You're a 27-year-old dude. Why are you playing with 12-year-old kids that like, you don't even know?
Yeah,
did you let kids off the street to play GoldenEye with you back in the day?
Hey, I know.
Smash Hey, you kids, get over here. Call me racist things.
Now, maybe he would say, well, my friends don't play games. Then what does he do?
I mean, come to IGN, join my IGN, meet plenty of new friends that love playing games. We have a thriving community of people who get on and play that. I see Fozzie all the time recruiting people to go play Left 4 Dead or whatever he wants to go play online.
Now, so, counterpoint to last email.
This
one's from Brandon from Spokane, Washington. He says, I recently moved back to my hometown, currently have no internet, which means no Xbox Live.
Lols.
My current online gaming withdrawals have made me realize that, for me, a well-rounded gaming experience depends heavily upon solid multiplayer modes. I thrive on the thrill I receive from killing other gamers in shooters or slaughtering the undead with my friends on the other side of the country. Although I realize we all grew up with almost nothing but single-player games, I feel like gaming has evolved to the point where a half-decent multiplayer mode is almost required,
ugh,
with few exceptions. The questions I have for you guys are, how big of a role do multiplayer modes have in your gaming experiences? If it were not possible in our day and age to play with friends online, would you still be as passionate about gaming as a whole, including pursuing a career in the field and all?
Yes.
For me, I'm not much of a multiplayer gamer
at
all.
I play almost exclusively
single player. I'm playing Deus Ex, like loving the hell out of Deus Ex. Like that to me is what I love about video games. Just playing, you know, being at home by myself, you know, totally involved in a good story,
make
totally
a choice,
involved in
make
exploring
your
a world.
The exact same way. Give me a good story, you know, not a campaign or whatever people call it now. Just a really good story, single-player mode. A lot of times it feels like multiplayer for single-player-centric games is something that's thrown in at the end that feels like it detracts from the development that could have gone.
Dead Space 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
or BioShock 2. I mean, it absolutely is. And, you know, there's a lot of these games that really don't need that, as evidenced by, you know, try and go play Dead Space 2 online right now, and you're going to find, like, two people on there or something.
Yeah.
People are trying to make this goes back to the used argument, right? Give them something to continue to do with your game so they don't sell it back, and you can still continue to make a success.
Yeah, I mean, it detracts from the development time, and it detracts from the story. Like, they did Metroid Prime, which is amazing. Fantastic single-player game. And then they did Metroid Prime 2, which they threw a multiplayer into that no one remembers because it was four different colored Samuses running around a backyard shooting each other. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know, why? Why not just make another level for the single-player game? Why even focus development time on that?
And online's fun, but, I mean, it's certainly not something from this generation. I mean, we've been playing games online for years and years and years. It's just a different type of gaming. And if that's your thing, there's plenty of people who only play online games, whether it's like World of Warcraft or Counter-Strike or...
Oh, Modern Warfare. How many people come in, put that in, and never touch the campaign?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tons.
Yeah, that's his PS here says, imagine playing a modern Call of Duty game solely for its campaign, lols. But the funny part of that is, I'm only going to play the campaign for Modern Warfare 3. I'll probably never play the multiplayer, but I'll play the campaign.
Me too, and I know they're developing it like, no one's going to play this, lols. And I'm like, no, I will. Sorry. You don't make it shitty and rush me through or
doesn't they put one of your articles on like a computer screen in there?
It doesn't make any sense for every game to have multiplayer because you can't play all those games. Like, everyone's playing Call of Duty. No, they don't have time to play every other multiplayer game, right? So all this stuff nobody plays. It gets put into the game, it gets released, and nobody plays it, you know.
I'd like to think that with the next console cycle you'll see maybe a snapback of that. That, you know, like there's a few exceptions that make a community, like, you know, like PlayStation, right? Like Uncharted has a huge community, but like Resistance like has a very tiny one. Maybe, you know, you see from there on out they let, you know, these Starship franchises, Modern Warfare and Uncharted, stuff like that, have these multiplayer modes, and then other people like the next BioShock Infinite, have they talked about that? Is that gonna have multiplayer? Like,
it probably will.
Also, drop the move, by the way. Drop the move. Nobody wants the move.
Just a few more emails here. This is from Dean Blake. He says,
is he like the dean of like Blake College?
He says, we can call him Deanie Pants.
I'm not going to do that.
He's from Australia.
I'll call him Blakey Poo.
He says, while being out on the piss, that's how you know he's Australian.
Okay.
He's out on the piss. I assume drinking, being drunk.
Out of town, yeah,
I think what he means to say is panda. Getting panda.
Okay. Is that the same as taking the piss?
I'm writing.
Because isn't that taking the fun?
That's
out
a different
things?
Thing. We'll have to ask Colin.
Yeah, we will.
I am writing that down and trying to use it today.
It says taking while being out on the piss. On the piss.
No, I'm not out on the piss, guys.
We don't even know what it means.
Some guy went to the urinals and put his drink on the floor behind him.
Now it sounds like he's actually
just to find it.
Yeah, he was actually going to the bathroom.
But we'll figure it out.
So the guy brings his drink to the bathroom and puts it on the floor.
Put it on the floor behind him.
That's really gross.
The Scoop listeners should know this is not acceptable.
That is way unacceptable.
So awful. Of course, people know I do not advocate ever taking a drink in the bathroom. Yeah. Greg will do it, but you're saying setting it down the floor is too far.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh God. Yeah, the floor is... Yeah,
I mean, that's splashback territory.
Yeah, that's piss and mist.
Just covered with piss and mist, shit and...
Right. Yeah. True story. I went into the IGN restroom yesterday, and an employee that we all know in here was in there with his laptop, sort of like on the sink counter doing some work in there. Yeah.
Interesting. Well,
take a break, you know?
I know.
Pause it for a second.
That's the break zone.
This is Chris Hamby. He says, I've recently gotten married, and ever since we dated, we travel to Knoxville about once a month to visit her family. On the 3-hour drive from Lexington, Kentucky, I listened to podcasts. She was awake for one of the podcasts discussing the drink in a bathroom. I asked her what she thinks. Mandy said this, if you have a drink that is half full, you need to man up and down it before going to the bathroom. If it's over half full, you need to learn bladder management before getting another drink.
Hmm. She's right.
Seems pretty simple to me, too. She's
Sounds
not...
like you married a total bitch. Congratulations.
Sounds like you're kind of overthinking.
Wait, so her name's Mandy?
Uh-huh.
And his last name is
Mandy
Hamby?
Hamby.
Mandy Hamby.
Mandy Hamby.
Oh, it was so close. It could have been Handy.
I hope she's awake during this podcast. We love you, Mandy. We're just kidding. You're not a bitch. But your name is funny.
She's right, though. Mandy Hamby. That's a strange name, but sage advice.
Last email from Chuck in Indiana. Pittsburgh.
Fuck yeah, Chuck.
Indiana, Pennsylvania. Sorry.
Indiana, Pittsburgh.
What's up, Damon and friends? You said that you like hearing about how people listen to the podcast. My dad and I own a small Christmas tree farm in Pennsylvania. I like to save up several episodes of the podcast, and I listen to them while I work on the farm. That way I get to spend a full day with you guys while I'm planting or trimming trees. It makes the time go much faster.
Oh,
thanks for all the laughs and information. I love thinking of this guy working on Christmas Tree Farm, listening to GameScoop.
How do you make money on a Christmas tree farm, not Christmas time?
You have to grow the trees all year, though.
But I know.
You probably make all of your money during Christmas.
That seems crazy.
I wonder if they have other stuff that they grow that they sell throughout the
pumpkins.
Year.
It's, you know, it's, real it's Christmas trees aren't cheap, Greg. They're like $75.
Yeah. It still seems like that.
Oh, no, dude, they're even more expensive than
that now.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially, like, if you want something that's not just a little tiny sort of typical. Like, they have
a Charlie Brown tree.
Trees, like Douglas firs and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's super pricey.
It's an easy business to maintain, too. You just need, what?
Land.
Dirt and water. those things are free.
Altano, obviously you also need GameScoop while you're doing
you
it.
You do. Yeah. So headphones, dirt, and water.
Chuck says, on a side note, there has been a bear wrecking havoc in the fields recently, so your voices may be the last thing I hear.
Jesus.
I just hope it isn't when Greg is talking about the PSP. That would be a terrible way to go.
Okay. I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's get that bear to write in.
And that's all the scoops we have.
His memories are mine.
He tastes like Game Scoop.
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you for joining us, listeners. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Greg. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out. Come get some.
IGN Gamescoop. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.